run through. Now, so today we are talking about attempting to build a great house. Now, remember, everything that we have been talking about is about greatness. We're attempting great things. Last week, we talked about attempting to love God. We are talking about attempting to build a great house. So give us a scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 19 to 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 19 to 21. Give it to us. 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 19. You're going to read up until 21. King James, it says, Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the foundation of God stands sure. Nothing can move it. There's no war that can disturb it. There is no famine that can erase it and undo it. The foundation of God stands sure. It has a seal. It says that the Lord knoweth. The Lord recognizes. He has a recognition of those that are his. He has a recognition of those that are his, or those that have received the Son. Because you become a son by receiving the Son. You become a child of God by receiving. He knows those that have received him. Oh, they have been tormented. They have been bullied. Some of them are going off, but he knows them. Then he says, and let everyone that names or nameth the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity. Let him depart or her depart from perversion or being perverse, you know, from perverseness, if it's a word. Let him depart from iniquity. Next verse, quickly. Let him depart from iniquity. But in a great house, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. This is something that you discover in your own house. If your house is great. And your house is, I know your house is great. So that's why you have glasses and caps. you have wonderfully designed cutlery, and you have normal, plain, regular ones. If you come to if I put my drawer, there are some teaspoons that are nice. There are others plain, bland. It was bought from a cheap source. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Wow. They are all there. Next verse. 21. Then it says, if a man therefore purge himself, if a man therefore rids himself from these, he said, what are these? There are things that were listed above before the scriptures. If a man therefore purge himself from the things that make him dishonorable, that makes him a vessel not useful. Are you with me? If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified or separated unto God. Separated, the word sanctified means you are separated unto God. And it says, meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. You want to give it to me in the passion? Give it to me in the passion. And from verse 19, give me the same thing in the passion, and then we'll just read some few things, and I believe that you'll be blessed. It says, but the firm foundation of God has written upon it these two inscriptions. The Lord God recognizes those who are truly his, and everyone who worships the name who worships the name. Anyone who names the name. When you say in the name of Jesus, you are calling forth a being. You are calling forth a creature. That creature has a nature. He has characteristics. He has manifestations. You know, when I call forth Chris, you're not going to be looking for Ophelia. I'm calling Chris. Are you going to be looking for Ophelia?
No.
So the name represents a being, a person. That being, that person has traits or characteristics or manifestations. His nature, that person, that nature is the nature of God himself. And it says that let anyone who worships or calls upon that being, that nature, the one who says in the name of Jesus or in the person of Jesus, let him forsake iniquity or wickedness. Let him forsake wickedness. Let him forsake. Who is wicked? Who is wicked? First of all, a wicked person is a person who has not received the gift of God, who is Christ. That person is wicked. Now, the one who has also received him must now begin to live him or manifest him. And so that person also begins to forsake the acts. The acts of who he was into the acts of who he now is. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
We all were, but now we are. I'm sorry. We all were. All of us were. For all have sinned. For all have fallen short of the glory of God. Why? Sin, the nature, entered. Death passed upon all. So we were all children of wickedness, children of wrath, until we receive the gift of God, Jesus Christ, and a new nature has come forth. You are a new creature, a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And he says, now forsake those. They are past. They are gone. History. They are history. Don't bring it to collection. Don't let the enemy remind you ever again of that thing. Don't let the enemy stand upon any one of them to accuse you. Don't. Next verse. Hey, I don't know what. Let's go on. Yeah. And then it says, in a palace or in a great house. In a great house. You find many kinds of containers and tableware for many different uses. Some are beautifully inlaid with gold or silver, but some are made of wood or earthenware. Some of them are used for banquets and special occasions, and some for everyday dada use. Are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah, they're for everyday use. Everyday use. Everyday use. No, they hold no significance. They hold no value. I mean, they hold no honor. Next verse. Then it says, then he's going to speak. He's speaking. But you, Timothy, because this is Paul writing to his son, Timothy. He said, but you, Timothy, you must not see your life and ministry this way. Because we're all called to be ministers. What does that mean? You're all called to be servants of the one who has become our life. We are all called to bring ourselves because we have embraced him who's the head. So now we submit to him who's the head. So he speaks through us. He talks through us. He manifests himself through us. The world looks at you and say you are a fool. Say, I am glad to be a fool for Jesus. Let's wait. You shall see. For the children of wisdom, their fruits bear witness of them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. So don't worry. If a lot of people don't have significance for you, no, don't worry. It wouldn't be long. Everybody shall see it. Yeah. Everybody's building a house. Some are on, you know, any foundation at all. Others on the Christ, the true foundation. And the wind there to blow. It doesn't matter who and where you build that. Doesn't matter your development, your social standing, how much money you have. The wind will blow. And it will blow vehemently. Nobody can stop it. It will blow. But those whose foundation is the Christ himself, those who are called the ministers of the King. It's not like they are some wild guys. No, all they did was they received the Son and let the Son live his life through them. That's what makes you a minister. You are a minister only by receiving the Son and letting the Son have his way through you. It's not your wisdom. It's not your dreams. It's not your goals. It's not your family. It's not your household. No. It's more than you. It's the Son. That is why when he gives you a child, you are also a steward of people who are also called to be his sons and his daughters. You're always a steward. can say, it's me and my children. Take them wherever you want to take them to. They will flip through your fingers like that. You will see that you don't have anything. Anyway, you must not see your life and ministry this way. Your life and ministry must not be disgraced, for you are to be a pure container of Christ. You are called to be that, and he's going to enforce it. You know, I just want to just spend a few minutes letting you see that you are the house that he's building, so that he will make you become a builder of houses. Many children, many other families are supposed to come and take off from you. That's why he has work to do on you first. When he called the disciples, what was that? He called them to himself first, to spend time with them first. Then he sent them forth. Why? They had to be perished of all the crap that was in them. They were full of it, just as we were and are still. But he has work to do, and he's going to finish it. He who began a good work, he is faithful to
complete it.
Exactly. So don't give up on, don't think that you are, you are failed. Oh, nobody fails God's test and discipline. You only keep taking it. You only keep taking it. Some people just take it as, well, they are always children. They never go beyond class one until they die, unfortunately. But you don't fail. You just didn't pass. I mean, you just didn't finish. We're not able to graduate to the next level. That's all it is. For you are to be a pure container of Christ and dedicated to the honorable purposes of your master, my master, our master, prepared for every good work that he gives you to do. How do we like it? You are called to see your life and your ministration exactly the way he has purposed, so that you will not be a vessel unto disgrace or unto honor. For you are to be a pure container of Christ and dedicated to the honorable purpose of your master, prepared for every good work that he gives you to do. Now, let me tell you something. Give my people, please. You know, the Bible says that foolishness is attached to the heart of every child. It's not some children, every child, foolishness is attached. That word foolishness, another meaning is rebellion. That's why one of the things that they learn very early in their development, when they start talking, is no. Everything is no. I mean, you wonder, what didn't they learn by saying yes? Have you asked yourself before? Why don't they learn yes before they say no? I mean, is there a difficulty in saying yes compared to no? Please, mothers, you're the ones who are, you hear this more easily and readily than men. Tell me, why isn't that children don't learn yes easily more than they learn no? It's because rebellion is attacked.
Hey.
Proverbs 22, verse 15. Look at it. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Look at it. Because, look at it. Just quickly, please. We really have to be fast because we don't have much time at all. It says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. In the heart of a child. Okay, don't worry. If it's taking time, don't worry. We'll read other scriptures anyway. It says that although rebellion is woven into a young man's heart. Now, he has taken the child to now a young man. It says rebellion is woven into a young man's heart, but discipline makes him into a man. Discipline. Can I give it to the King James as well? It's not who gave birth to the child. It's not where the child was given birth to. It has nothing to do with your class and your place of birth. It's what you gave birth. It says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far. The rod of discipline is what drove the foolishness out of my heart. Because I had it. I had it. Everybody has it. Everybody had it. Until it was driven out by a parent, a father, a mother, an uncle who took care of you. They drive it. They beat you. It is not, it's not pleasant. But that's the only way. There's no other way. There's no other way. There's no other way. Now, listen, please. I'm talking about building a great house. So don't. That's the main thing. God is building. He's going to use you to build a great house. That's his intention. That's why when he saved you, he didn't whisk you off to heaven and say, ah, now that Angie is saved, let me just take it to heaven before the enemy gets her back again. No. He has work to do. For we have been recreated in Christ Jesus unto good works, which were foreordained. Before she was born, she was foreordained. It's not after she was born. That's why it doesn't matter how she was born. It doesn't matter where she was born. You know, like, oh, he, you know, this girl or this boy was born out of a rape. And so he must die. No. It's not like that. Because man is not the cause and the initiator of life. It is God who puts a destiny into the heart of a child and say, he is recreated in Christ Jesus unto good works, which were foreordained when? Before the foundation. It's not the era. It's not the era. It's not a time, a realm. No. Before the foundation. How did I get into that? Oh, what was I talking about? Anyway. Yeah. So now he's going to perform a work. He's going to perform a work. So let me just show you something quickly. Now, please pay attention because we maybe it may come along. It may come along. But the Lord is about to manifest himself amongst many sons and daughters. Like I was telling Enoch one time that the prodigals are going to rush back into the arms of the Father. The prodigals, they are going to run back into the arms of the Father. You know, just a few days ago, I was just reflecting on a scripture. And then I believe the Holy Spirit who took me there. I think we might read it. we might read it. because he was just showing me that it has nothing to do with anybody. It has nothing to do. It is what the Father purposed in the Son. Because the Son, all things were made for him. And all things are made to have a significance by the Son. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
The devil was made for the Son. That's all you know. Just he rebelled. That's why he instantly became ugly. He became so ugly that his other angels who fell with him, they were shocked as to what he had become, a contorted image. Mm. But he didn't know that the beauty that he exuded, the glory was because the Son's life was keeping and preserving him. He lost it. He didn't know. He didn't know that it was there was an origin. And so once he rebelled, he lost all that. Anyway, let's look at a scripture. The Bible says in Psalm 15. Verse 1 to 2. Please bear with me and pay rapt attention to what I'm sharing with you. It's going to be brief. But Psalm 15, verse 1 to 2. Look at it. And I'll show you something. And then we will proceed and be done. Just in time, I pray. Psalm 15, verse 1 to 2. It says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Who shall abide? Who is the one who will be qualified to abide? Abide is not to just step in and come out. Because the moment you become born again, you have stepped in. But who is he who shall abide in that tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? The place, the sacred place, the place of intimacy, the place where you hear, the place where you know, the place where you know and you know that you are in God, with God. He's present. He's in charge. He has you. He has you. You are covered. Who shall dwell there? Next verse. Now, the scripture in verse 2 says, he that walketh uprightly. Now, as soon as you read the scripture, you begin to find yourself, you're condemned. But please don't be condemned. No. Remember, I told you that foolishness is attached to the heart of a child. What does it take to remove and drive out the foolishness? Correction. Discipline. So look at something, though. Please, I need you to get this. He that walketh uprightly, God, through his son, is the one who is going to make you walk uprightly. And I'll show you in a moment. I pray I'm able to do it by the grace of God.
Amen.
And number one, you walk uprightly. And this is possible only in the son. Number two, your child, when he was crawling and he made attempts to walk, how many of you could see his intention but his failure as well?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you tried to help this child and you never gave up on the child until the child began to walk? How many of you did go buy something that he can stroll with?
A walker.
Why? Because any child can only walk uprightly by the help of the caretaker. Likewise, the father knows that you can only walk by means of the son. In him, you live. In him, you move. In him, you have your being. So anything you are called forth to be has to be in the son, by the son, through the son. So he says, I will send you a helper. His name, the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he will reveal me to you. You will see me. You will see your longing to become just like me because I made you. I gave birth to you again to become my life. The Holy Spirit will help you do that. Don't condemn yourself and say, I failed here, I failed there, I failed there. I'm not qualified to be called your son. That is what the prodigal son said. The father didn't even mind him on that foolish statement. Anyway. And worketh righteousness. He works. He works righteousness. Because it's not only, he doesn't only make you righteous. But you are called to also work it. Work it. You didn't become just a financial whatever something. No, you work it as well. So when you come to find me, because I was sent to school for that, you will find me dealing with medication. Someone will call, hey, if I take this medication, can I also take grape juice? Why is he asking me? Because that's all I was trained for. So I must work it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I must work it. Like one day I was there and then somebody came. I was there, somebody came and told me that my child is hurt. I was not trained in dealing with bleeding and stuff. So when he told me that, I didn't know what to do. I said, hey, I'm going to call 911 because I'm not into dealing with blood and how to, unfortunately, that's not my training. But for some other people, oh, bring that child over here. Let me take care of that bleeding now, quickly. Why? They are working it. See, I'm working it. That's right. So he makes you righteous. He makes you a carrier of his life, his nature. Then you're going to work it. I'm going to work it. Stand. I say stand. And now work it. Work. Number three, he speaketh truth in his heart. He speaketh truth in his heart. Let me explain this quickly for you. He speaks truth in his heart. Pay attention. It is true that we've all goofed. It is true that we have all done abominable, terrible things. It's true that we brought shame to the name of God. We have done it. Probably have still not really, really, really come out of it. It's true. But there is a higher truth. The higher truth is what the son has done. See, what is that? He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that was required to bring peace to us in spite of what we have done was put upon him. That is a higher truth. And so, yes, we have done all these things. Yes, these penalties must be attached to all these things. But forgiveness is a higher truth. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So, what does it mean to speak truth in your heart? Who is the truth?
Christ.
Exactly. Jesus Christ, the truth. So to say that you are speaking truth in your heart, now you are speaking and standing on only what the Son has brought forth and revealed to be the truth. Why? Because he is the truth. And everything he did is what is the truth about you. That's why he did it. Otherwise, he shouldn't have done it. He shouldn't have come at all. He shouldn't have endured the shame. He shouldn't, have endured the pain, the torment, and despite the shame. But he did it. So now, you know truth. You know what the Son did. You know what his sacrifice of death and the resurrection has brought forth. So now you begin to speak this truth in your heart. You begin to speak this truth in your heart. Any other thing that the enemy would want to show you is what you were and what was wrong with you. He never wants you to speak what is true about you concerning, because of what Christ has done. So truth is as the word of God declares it. Do you know something? Do you know how many of you know that scripture, Romans 10, verse 17, that says that now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God? How many of you know that scripture? That's King James. Do you know that when you read the New American Standard Bible, do you know what it says? Now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word concerning the Christ. Jesus. Your faith will never rise up. You will never begin to exercise your faith and work in it until what you hear is what Christ has done. Faith, it cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. If you are always being bombasted and blasted, the devil is the one who does that, with everything that is wrong with you, faith will never, you will never see why you can't walk in faith. Are you with me?
Yes.
So what is God going to do? He's going to exercise you. Just like we exercise our child so that he can now, we keep exercising. You know, your child, all of us, how many of you know that all of us used to poop in our pants? All of us, every one of us,
yeah.
We will poop, we will wee-wee at the most odd of places. If it's coming, if the edge is there, it's coming. That is the, and you can't, why? Because you have not been exercised in restraining yourself. So they will say, when you're taking the child to school, you say, is it potty trained? Is it potty exercise? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So let's read the scripture. So why are you talking about all these things? Because I needed to see that God has begun to do a work. You must allow him, and gladly so. Otherwise, you will not like the outcome. You will become bitter. And you will not be able to purge. But if any man purges himself from all these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Sanctified or separated and fit for the master's use. That person shall be a vessel unto honor. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
So look at Hebrews 12. Chapter 6. Verse 11. The thing that I said I'll share with you, you know, because I was thinking. And then Lord took me to that scripture that said that, you remember? I went to the field. Is there a man went to the field, and in the morning, early in the morning, he went, you're going to go to the scripture in a moment. He went there. And when he went there, he saw laborers, plenty. And then he engaged them. Oh, before you show it, you just give me the paper first. I'm going to read something to you real quick. I don't have time, so I'll just share with you what I learned. That was in Matthew 20. He said, he went there, and he saw the laborers. And he told them, I'm going to engage you for the day's work. I'll give you a penny per day. He said, oh, yeah, we love it. Please, take us home. So he took all of them to his field. And they started working. The master went back at midday. He saw some people were still idle. He found some new group of people who were idle. Say, hey, would you want to come and work for me? Oh, yeah. He went there again around 6 p.m. Lo and behold, when he went, he found another group of people. He said, why are you idle? He asked them, why are you idle around? He said, nobody hired us. Nobody hired us. Nobody hired us. He said, would you want to come work for me? He said, yeah. So he brought them over. And then an hour before close of day, everyone say with me, an hour before close of day.
An hour before close of day.
he went there again. Look at what he found. Another group of idle people. Hey, you guys want to come and work for me? Yes. He brought them. Now the hour came for him to give remuneration, pay them. And so he started paying those who came the latest, those who came an hour before closure. And he gave them a penny. And then those who came 6 p.m., gave them a penny. And then those who came 12 p.m., a penny. And then those who came in the morning, who you got in the morning, a penny. Then those who he gave the penny in the morning, I mean, who gave them, who he paid in the, those who came in the morning, they began to murmur. How many of you think that it will make sense to murmur?
Oh, of course. Work all day, somebody work.
You know what they said? They said, we have borne the heat of the day. We have borne the heat of the day. And then the master said, did I not enter into a contract with you to pay you a penny? Why are you calling? Why are you envious of my goodness? I am exhibiting and demonstrating and showing my goodness. Why are you envious? Why are you angry with that? And then what I got was that it's not so much what you can do. It's not so much what you are able to do. It's that you brought him. He brought you. Mm-hmm. Because it is in him bringing you into there. That is when your fruitfulness, and that fruitfulness, he's able to accomplish it like that. A year, 2 years, 3 years. You can even die after 5 years. He says, you have finished your work. Come home. That is what happened to, what's his name? The guy who played Keith Green. The guy will minister the song and share a word. The drug addicts, because he had, you know, he could bring them droves coming to the Lord. And then at a very young age, dead. You can't explain it. Can't explain it. So God, why couldn't you present as a person? Look at how many works he's accomplishing. Lord, if you have given him 10 more years, how many people more would have finished his work? I mean, I was shocked. So all it requires is let him begin the good work. He will accomplish it. All he wants is that you came along. Are you with me?
Yes.
How many of you are blessed by God's word so far? Yeah. So read a scripture. I don't have much time, but I beg you, just bear with me for a minute. Let's read the scripture. I'll share with you something. So you must become very, that is why, and the reason why he showed me that is so that no man would boast. No man could boast. Because remember, the 12 disciples, they were a group of people that no one would ever choose them for such a great work. And he chose them so that none of them could come and boast. Even Paul, the Apostle Paul, he was a murderer. A murderer, because he is the one who organized for Stephen to be stoned. That's why when he came into an encounter with Jesus and he began to receive the revelation, he couldn't boast, because he knew that he was the worst of the worst. Not only did he kill people who didn't believe in Jesus, but people who were saints, he was the one killing them. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so God delights in choosing foolish things to build and bring forth, because he is the one who is going to purge you. So even when you call Paul, say, I will show you things. In fact, when you told Ananias that you should go pray for him, he said, I will let him know the thing that he will suffer for my name's sake. But all these things, not suffering to punish him. No. The correction that he was going to bring his way. So look at this scripture. Please, I pray that I have just 10 minutes to share this properly with you. If I'm not, another time. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He chasteneth. This scripture has brought such confusion among many of God's children. And he scourges every son whom he receives. If the Lord loves you, he's going, the word chastise, it's not to punish you for your wrongdoing. It's not. is not and never to punish you for what you have done wrong. It is correction unto good works. So you keep correcting your child who keeps pooping in the diapers. He poops. You are so mad, but you the only way to do it is that you have to go and buy the potty thing and then show him. You have to clap for him when he does it, and then when he doesn't do it, you become mad. But still, you have to go and buy it. Do what are you doing? You are correcting him. You're not punishing him. I'm going to beat you. No. Well, forget about it. The Lord loveth, he corrects unto good works, and he scourges. So the foolishness which is attached to your heart, all the protective mechanisms which you have developed because of what you have suffered, oh, and they are there. I have it, you have it. Your first response is to defend yourself. Your first response is to make sure nobody take you for a fool, or nobody take you for granted, or somebody doesn't respect you. That's your first response. We all have it because we've all suffered it. Everybody has suffered it. And you are cheating me, you are taking me for a fool. I will prove to you. And so God now, because why? Because he's going to build a house. That house is so great. It's going to have people of different sorts and culture and understanding. And he must first of all free you from all the crap which you have acquired by your daily experiences in your growing up. Does that make sense?
Yes.
For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son whom he receives. Go to the next one. So he says that if you endure the chastening, if you endure, so first of all, I want you to understand that the chastening is correction so that you can now produce right results, as he declares it, right correction unto good results. And then says, if you endure the chastening, meaning that if you take the correction and persist until the right actions begin to result. So if you endure the chastening, God is dealing with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father does not discipline unto good works? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Are you getting it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who is it? Every one of us. Why? Because no matter where we were ducked out from, We all had it. I mean, we've all had it. We've all had the crap. I mean, it's terrible. It's the waste of the devil. It's the waste of the world. It is the waste of the wisdom of the world. We all have it. But that this wisdom does not descend from above. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is of the world. Then it says that it's earthly. It is based on the senses. It is based on the senses. If it doesn't make me feel good, well, then I'm going to deal with it. You all have it. That's why you are shocked by your boss's behavior at times. He's your boss. They say he's in charge of the whole facility. But when himself or herself comes, you will wonder if he even ever went to school. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because we have it. It takes discouraging. And discouraging is not driving you into a wall. You become incapacitated, take you to the hospital, and there he's going to come and talk to you. If we do that, the social people will come and take us that we are abusing our children. We, as wicked as we are, we don't do that to our children. But we have portrayed a father to be like that. He will punish you for your wrongdoing, and he will make you bear the things that you will see, you will learn sense. I don't know all these foolish things. No, because you look at it. I'll show you why. Look at this verse. Look at this verse quickly. I'm about to end, please. But if you are without this discipline and scourging and purging, whereof all are partakers, every child of God, Apostle Paul was a partaker of it. Peter was a partaker of it. Peter, what is it? Get thee behind me, Satan. He didn't beat him. He didn't beat him. He didn't beat him. You have taken on the nature of Satan, and you are manifesting Satanism. Yeah. The guy took the correction nicely. Took it. Sharp rebuke. No problem. Because I know that life is with you. If I leave you right now, where am I going? He knew it. Good people, are you also going to leave? Because he was saying that if you come and don't eat my flesh and drink my body, you will not. Huh. all the disciples left. When he said that, they turned around. Are you also going to leave? How can we leave from you? How can we leave your presence? Because we know that life is only found with you. So when he also takes you, he does that. But look at something that he's going to say. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Look at the next verse. It says, furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh. Now look at it. This is key to understanding this whole thing. We've had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us. We gave them reverence. A father of your flesh is the father through whose sperm you come into being. He is the father of your flesh. So you find out that he's the one who, now look at this too. The correction of the father of our flesh, it is through the beatings, you know. That's the only way we know how to correct. We do all those things. We beat, we do this, we drive you out. We do this. It says, we give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto who?
Father of spirits.
When the father of spirits is going to discipline you, he is going to do it in relation to your spirit, not to your flesh. So what's he going to do? He's going to use the word, for the words I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit and their life. Is it being washed by the washing of water with the word? And so when God is disciplining you, he disciplines you with the word. And so you find out that today you are confronted with a financial issue. You are going to have to exercise. He's going to exercise you. What are you going to think? What are you going to say? You're confronted with a relationship problem. What are you going to think? Mm-hmm. What are you going to say? You're confronted with a bizarre situation. What are you going to think? What are you going to say? What's he doing? He's going to exercise you. Mm-hmm. He's going to exercise you with his word. 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 Somebody insults you. And the Holy Spirit comes. When you begin to respond like you would when you were natural, you cut him off. He will not forsake you. No, 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 no. He will come and he will convict you. You will never have your peace. You gave your peace of mind. You sorted the guy out. But as you are living and driving, you found out you don't have any peace. Why? You were a child. You didn't manifest the son, the son's life. What is he doing? What is he doing? Discipline. He disciplined through the word. The word, then you find this scripture comes to mind. That scripture comes to mind. This scripture comes to mind. Forgive. Shall be forgiven. This. Find out that. Oh, my. Why? Watch out! Watch out! Some people don't receive this correction. Some people don't receive the discipline. The result, he says, shall we not be rather in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Next verse. It says, for they verily, for a few days, chasing us after their own pleasure. So the reason why our fathers and our mothers disciplined us the way they did it is because they were fed up, they were tired. That's why sometimes the same action does not produce the same reaction. You wonder, yesterday daddy beat me, he beat me well. I did the same thing next week. The other time, it didn't call for any such a rebuke. So what is it? It's because the day that you did that thing, it was a bad day for you.
I had that issue.
I've had it. Your mother is doing this. You also bring yourself. Ha! I will give it to you. Oh, your father is, look at what the father is doing. And look at you're foolish boy. You also bring yourself. So they discipline and chasten us after your own pleasure. But he, the father, the Lord, Jesus Christ, for our profit. Okay. That's why he never gives up on you. He never gives up on you. That we might be what?
Partakers
of his holiness. Because the thing is there. But he must bring it forth. And it takes the rod of correction. That you will now. So he keeps exercising you. Until such a time when when you are confronted with the same issue, your behavior is different now. You have passed. You're purging yourself. You're being purged. I've been purged of all those. Why? He's going to build a house. A great house. He must purge you. He must exercise. So Father himself exercises you first until you are able to exercise yourself. So look at the next verse. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. So the person did this thing to you, the person who you thought was your friend, choked you in your back, and whilst the knife was inside you, you turned it around. You want to just curse him. Then you hear in your spirit, not in your flesh, not by feeling. You don't feel any love. You don't feel it at all. But you are hearing it in your spirit. Forgive. Shall be forgiven. It's so grievous. It's not joyous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. What is that? Righteousness is the nature that's inside you. When that nature begins to come forth, you see it as fruit. The peaceable fruit of righteousness. And to them which are what?
Exercise thereby.
Do you see that God exercises you until you are exercised?
Yeah,
I can't stand it. I can't tolerate that nonsense. Okay, it's okay, it's okay. You will get another opportunity. Oh, yeah. Oh, you get it. You get it. Why? You must pass. You will get somebody else going to rile you up again. You must pass. You must pass. It's not that. Oh, you are you there. Every bad thing happens to you. No. You are such a treasure. Like your child, as you were pooping, your mother didn't give up on you because you were a treasure. You poop everywhere. You poop at the wrong places. It not be anything. Why? You are a treasure. You just have not been exercised. You have not been potty trained. But you're a treasure. And to them which are exercised thereby. Wow. Now, look at verse 15, please. I'm done. I'm sorry for taking a while. But look at verse 15. It says, looking diligent lest any man fail of the grace of God. The grace of God to help you, to enable you to overcome, because it's humanly impossible. So grace, everybody needs grace to overcome this foolish behavior that is done against you. This wickedness that is displayed against you is humanly impossible. Walking upright is humanly impossible. So God sent his grace. So I'll give you a help. He said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. The grace of God must be abundantly present for you to fail of it. And if you keep failing, you are going to come to the place where you have a lot of information, a lot of scripture, a lot of God's ways. But because you have not allowed yourself to be exercised, you will find out that some people who are going to get born again just last week, they are going to enter into it because they don't know anything. They don't know squat. But they are going to now allow themselves. They will begin to move very fast. You look at them, become bitter. It says, lest any root of bitterness springing up begin to trouble you, and thereby many defiled. You know, there's a scripture that coordinates with this. But my time is up. There's a scripture which coordinates with this. I think we should read it. I beg you, look at Romans 5, verse 12. Hebrews 5. The same Hebrews 5, verse 12. Look at it. Please, but just bear with me. Just because we have entered into a time where we must now allow God to bring forth what is inside of us. And we must now be looking for what he's bringing forth. Because if you don't allow him, you will not see what he's doing. It says that for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. The first principles of the oracles of God. So what are they? Next verse will show you. It says, oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Next verse. Next verse. So what are the oracles of God? Who are those who have need, who need milk all the time? For everyone that uses milk is unskillful, has not been exercised in the word of righteousness. Now remember, righteousness is the nature of God. You have not, the moment you become born again, you begin to drink milk. Why? Because that nature, that new creature nature, must be now be birthed in you. You're going to be exercised in it. But you have not exercised yourself. You have become so unskillful in the word of righteousness, how God has given you a new nature. You have that nature. You must now walk that nature. The Holy Spirit is going to help you to live that nature. But you are so unskillful in the word of righteousness, the word that reveals the nature which Christ has brought forth, which is in you. He says that you are a babe. So you still need to go back to the first oracles, the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have need of milk, for you are a babe. Look at the next verse. Then it says, but strong meat. So milk is tasting how good God is. Now before I've tasted of how good God is, before I've tasted it, look at your marriage, look at everything, you can see. But now, strong meat belongs to them who are of full age, even those who by reason of use they have their senses exercised. So poop is coming. Your child now knows that no, this is not the place. If I let my poop come, mom will not be happy with me. No, if I let my poop come now, daddy will not be happy with me. I'm gonna hold my poop. Daddy, can you take me to the bathroom, please? Why? Because it's coming. But it says, no, poop, stay there. Yes, exercise. Used to pass gas anywhere, every place. Every place that is a good place in an ideal time. But now, all these things are stopping. Why? Their senses have been exercised to discern both good and evil. What is happening? The foolishness is not being purged out. And all because the senses has been exercised. Give me the people, please. Give me the people. Time is up. Now, the reason why all this has to be done is because of the church. It's such a great church. It's a great church that there will be many, 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 many kind of people, many, many, many kinds of cultures, many kinds of groups of people who are not like you. Who are not like you, but you have your own ways. It's set. Even your food that you eat, it's so peculiar to your culture. Like when I was coming to this place, I was looking for African market. Look at that. I was so set in my ways that I couldn't even bring myself to embrace potatoes and all those things. I said, what is potato? Even if you want food, say potato. What is potato? Look at me. I'm making food determine where I will go. Can I get an African market to buy goat meat? Look at that.
Forgive.
No. I don't remember the last time I ate fufu. I don't remember the last time I ate fufu. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't go everywhere and you are talking your Banku. And I mean, please. The people, they don't, what is Banku? what is goat? You eat goat meat? Can I try goat? I mean, it's a nice thing. It's a nice thing, but you bring it out in a way that they can also embrace it. And you also embrace them. So they give you their potato, whatever. You say, oh, let me try it. I want to eat it. Where I come from, don't eat such thing. Look at that.
No. Don't say that.
Yeah. If somebody's eating it and is not dead, one guy who came to a lighthouse church, I remember in Manhattan, people were passing comments about his potatoes. He's a white guy. He was so mad. Eh?
Oh.
Because we had no disrespect for his potato.
His potato.
Anyway, I tell you, God is building a great house and he really intends for us to rid ourselves of our cultural understanding, racial issues, behaviors of people. Look, some people, when you deal with them, you can easily write the whole group off. But it's the person you're dealing with. He also must come into the light, must be purged and scourged, just like you have. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you blessed by God's word today?
Yes.
Wonderful, 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 wonderful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for surely the entrance of your word, it brings illumination. Thank you for a time that the Holy Spirit has been allowed to bring to us your word, the word that disciplines, that scourges, that purges, that removes the dross, the crap, Lord, and presents us unto yourself, a people sanctified, separated unto God for the master's use. Oh, how glorious that the good work which you began, you are faithful to complete it. We yield our lives to you, Holy Spirit. Lead us forth. Teach us. Illuminate, Lord, our understanding. Cause us to come into an experience of that life of yours, that glorious life, that treasure. It cost you everything. But for your love for us, you said we were worth it. Every one of us. Every one of us was worth the price. And that price is a life of your son. That price is the blood that flowed on Calvary, the life of God himself flowing, poured out. And now you present us unto yourself, holy, unblameable, unreprovable in your sight. In this we shall glory. In this we shall boast. We shall bring our mind to bear on that which is true concerning us. For in the knowledge of the truth, we are set free. For truth is according to what Christ has revealed. It's not according to our experience. For just as nobody could work to enter into your righteousness, nobody is able to work to sustain your righteousness. It is only all about Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Master, and our boast. So now, take your communion, please. Take your body. Take your body, lift up your body and say with me, I partake of the broken body.
I partake of the broken body.
I partake of the body that was broken for full payment.
I partake of the body that was broken for full payment.
For every sickness.
For every sickness.
For every lack of peace.
For every lack of peace.
For every torment that the enemy could bring my way.
For every torment that the enemy could bring my way.
Every hold of the enemy has been brought to an end.
Every hold of the enemy has been brought to an end.
Through the broken body of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Through the broken body of my Lord Jesus Christ.
I am whole.
I am whole.
And I'm healed.
I am healed.
I am a vessel unto God.
I am a vessel unto God.
Sanctified for God's use.
Sanctified for God.
A treasure because of what Jesus has done.
A treasure because of what Jesus has done.
And I partake of that body.
And I partake of that body.
The body of Jesus Christ.
Body of Jesus Christ.
Please take the body. Now, say with me. Now I partake of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Now I partake of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Through this blood.
Through this blood.
The purging.
The purging.
The cleansing.
The cleansing.
By the Holy Spirit.
By the Holy Spirit.
Continues.
Continues.
It cleansed me completely.
It cleansed me completely.
And if I commit any other sin.
And if I commit any other sin.
If I commit any act of sin.
If I commit any act of sin.
The blood is called for.
The blood is called for.
And it goes to work for me.
And it goes to work for me.
For the word.
For the word.
Responds to the blood.
Responds to the blood.
And calls forth the Spirit of God.
And calls forth the Spirit of God.
And the greatest work.
And the greatest work.
Of cleansing.
Cleansing. Of cleansing.
Of every unrighteousness.
Every unrighteousness.
And the forgiveness of God.
And the forgiveness of
God. Is brought forth.
Is brought
forth. This blood.
This blood.
It makes me whole.
It makes me whole.
This blood. has brought me into the covenant of God himself. Father, your word says that you never forget your covenant. Therefore, today I call for the covenant of God.
For today I call for the covenant of God.
And I declare that I am cleansed and I'm made whole.
And I declare that I'm cleansed and I'm made whole.
And I'm a partaker of the inheritance of Jesus Christ.
And I'm a partaker of the inheritance of Jesus
Christ. Not by my works of righteousness.
Not by my works of righteousness.
But the relationship brought forth by the blood of Jesus.
But the relationship brought forth by the blood of Jesus.
And the covenant sealed and enacted by the blood.
And the covenant sealed and enacted by the blood.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
Please drink the blood. Wow. Well, we have come to a very wonderful time in his presence. As you stay on this good news, you will excel in the days ahead. I'm telling you. You can't help it. You will excel. Because the Holy Spirit himself will take care of everything that is left to be done about you. You are awake. And he will perfect it. Glory be to the Father.
Love.
Wonderful. Let's